of where she's at in space. That's pretty fundamental. Next one, she is quite the exerciser. She goes to APE classes, and she'll lay on a platform, and then she'll do leg lifts. And she can now do leg lifts much further with more control than she has ever been able to do before. Plus, she has a barbell, a weighted barbell, that she holds as she's laying down. She holds over the top of her head, and she'll move that back and forth, and she has much better control of that barbell. And then tied in with that, more distinct movements. You know, your kids, our kids are somewhat uncoordinated, so when they move, they can't stop real well. Brianne has noticed that her movements are much more distinct, and I have noticed that. When used to be when she and I would have a little tiff, you might think we get a tiff so much, you couldn't be right. But when she gets excited, she'll flail her arm. Nobody else, of course, got on the wrong side of the kid, so you wouldn't know what I'm talking about. But flail her arms. And the last time we had a little talk, when she would do that, I noticed things distinctly, that she wasn't flailing her arm. She wouldn't make a point. She made a point. So I took that as a model. So that's what 743 is doing for Brianne. That's about 10 or 11 months.
Now, does this translate into less holes in the wall?
No. No. She can't do holes in the wall because I've lined the walls with metal.
It also sounds like what you're saying that she has more energy. Is that intrinsically, are you seeing that?
She didn't mention that, but she might not have thought of it.
She's working out more, heavier,
I'll have to hold judgment on that.
Okay.
I don't want to misspeak. Some of the back of my mind senses that I agree with you, but I can't.
It's a hard measurement.
I'll put that on Facebook so all of you can,
I'm sorry.
Yes.
The 743,
as Ron was pointing out, is a designer drug created by Dr. Guy Miller in San Jose, and is amongst all the other drugs that are being tested that are not available because they're designer drugs. I know where you're going. They're all unique designer drugs, and they got to go through the whole thing. It's like HTAC and HAC. Okay, let me give it back.
Okay, and just to reinforce that point, I should say, as Paul said right away, 743 has been administered to Leigh syndrome, Leber's hereditary neuropathy, about to be in MELOS patients in Japan, and a handful of FA patients, all on an emergency treatment IND basis. These are late-stage patients. In the case of the Leigh syndrome kids, these were people released to hospice care. These were little kids sent home with 30 days to live. So this is not available. And in fact, Edison has just made the decision for a very good reason to not enroll any additional patients on 743. And this is good news because they stopped doing that so they can concentrate on a full-up clinical trial, which is going to be needed. It's sooner is better than later, because you need a clinical trial to get the FDA to approve your drug. You're not going to approve the drug based on, 30 or 50 or 70 emergency treatments. So, that's the name of that tune. Finally, yes, go ahead.
Any of these drugs, whether they're tested in Canada, Italy, the United States, will be opened up to FA patients anywhere. I mean, if they're approved, yes, they would have to be submitted to that government's FDA equivalent, but once the FDA or the EMA or the Canadian regulators approve a drug, there's so much harmonization, as it's called, in the regulatory community right now, that there's very rapid collaboration, and usually the collaboration begins, let's just take this Italian study of the HDAC inhibitor, for example. The data from that trial will go to the EMA initially, but no one's going to seek approval, market approval on the basis of a phase one. But then when here in the US, Repligen goes to the FDA for a phase two of that drug or for a phase one of the follow-on candidate, those data will be presented to the FDA, and as they would with the Canadian regulators. And those data would be just as valuable to those regulators as though they were done in Canada or Europe.
Because I know with Canada, they would approve it.
Right.
Well, it's gotten what's called conditional approval, and Quebec, for example, reimburses patients for idebenone. The other provinces do not. And it was given a conditional approval in Canada based on the phase two results that we did right here at the NIH in Bethesda, Maryland. And they said, we'll give you conditional approval in Canada based on those results and based on the anticipated results of the phase three. The phase three did not meet its endpoints. So now in Canada, they're considering whether to withdraw that conditional approval. But for right now, Canadian, in all of Canada, it's conditionally approved, but only in Quebec, I understand, can you be compensated for it.
Just the one comment there, that realistically, because Italy is into phase one,
right,
and will finish phase one,
yes,
that Italy and Europe is likely to approve HAC inhibitor before the U.S.
Well,
likely.
But nobody would do that based on a phase one.
No. Italy and Europe will do the phase one. They're ahead of us. Then they're going to do a phase two. They're ahead of us. They're going to do a phase three. They're ahead of us. So there is a likelihood. Come on, Ron. There's a likelihood that they may cross the finish line before the U.S.
But I wouldn't call it likely. I'd say it's possible because we're already talking with Gofar in Italy. We're already talking with Repligen. They're already talking with the clinicians there. What we'd all like to do, let's say this is shown to be safe and effective in phase one, and decisions made to proceed with that candidate, RG2833, rather than going with the follow-on. So we would give those data to the FDA. Hopefully the FDA would approve a phase two in the U.S. of that candidate, and we would join a global phase two, and everyone comes in sync. That's
maybe
the hope at this point.
Maybe. I just don't want anybody walking out thinking that it's a done deal, that everybody crosses the finish line. Keep an eye out on FAPG for the cutting edge research.
And remember very carefully, because this came up on FAPG, that people are discouraged because we don't have any treatments, which is kind of true and not true. Idebenone was our first treatment. We actually got to phase three clinical trials. People don't remember that. I remember getting into it with Donovan, Dr. Lynch, measuring his outcomes because they didn't have a scale at the time. All that's been implemented, so we can actually look to see if there's improvements to further the rest of the studies. Mm-hmm. So we've made progress.
Oh, absolutely. We've got those clinical outcome measures, as they're called, which, there are so many disease groups that are now coming to us to say, how did you do that? Because they, like so many other groups, unfortunately tried to leap to the cure. They didn't want to hear about the hard work you had to do to get there. They said, they would say things like, gene today, gone tomorrow. And we got our gene, it'll be gone tomorrow. So let's go right to the drugs. We had such good advice from the NIH and from good clinicians around the world. Get your clinical outcome measures done. Do your natural history studies. So, because the drug companies will laugh you out of the room, the FDA will laugh you out of the room, if you come to them and say, we want to do this clinical trial, and they'll say, well, how are you going to measure success or failure? It's like, where are your clinical outcome measures? What are your endpoints that show us the drug works or doesn't work? And so, because of all the support from families like yours, we got those endpoints done early. We got the patient registry done early. We got the natural history studies done early, so these clinicians can
CCNR.
What's that? Oh, and the CCRN, the Clinical Research Network around the world, 11 centers now that have doctors that know FA. They see a lot of our patients. They see most of our patients. We know their natural history specifically. They're in the database. So we are, the infrastructure that all of us together have provided is going to save the drug company a lot of time and money. It's going to save our kids a lot of time. And, you know, it's already drawing. You would not believe how many calls we get now from drug companies around the world saying, well, we really like the looks of FA. We think you've got, you know, wonderfully mature basic science. You've got all the clinical infrastructure we need to do trials. You've got natural history, a basic registry. You know, let's go. And, you know, this wonderful woman over here, Christine, is representing one of those drug companies that's come to us because they found FA. And this group right here is the way every drug company should behave. They're not only interested in advancing the drug for our kids, they're here to help us. They're getting involved in our fundraising efforts. They're getting involved in, they're meeting with our clinicians so they make sure they design their trial correctly. You know, this is just an example of how industry can be all in for our kids.
And what I want to say is that I have met you all before. Not personally, but the things that you have to say, the concerns that you have, are exactly the same as hundreds of parents that I have met in the UK and in France and in Germany and in Spain, and we are all engaged in the same quest for the cure. And to be quite honest, it doesn't really matter who gets to the finish line first, because we are all... research money to spend. We commit research money together. Mm-hmm. And we have just come out of the most excellent research meeting where all the scientists have been together. They share results in this field like no other. There are so many scientific fields where the scientists are anxious for personal reputation and personal gain. And believe me, within this sector, we have scientists who are really not in it for themselves. And they are anxious to get results from you.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And when you ask those scientists, as someone asked Joel Gottesfeld at the Philadelphia Symposium, the FA Symposium, were the church sects there? Remember when somebody, it was John Jackman that asked. In fact, Joel Gottesfeld, why is it that we see so much collaboration here in over FA rather than all these other groups competing with one another? And he pointed the finger back at us, didn't he, John? He says, because of you guys making sure that we all work together and providing the kind of infrastructure that you provide. He says, everybody here is after the same thing. As Sue just said, we're all after treating your kids. So it's, you know, it's because of the way we work together and what we provide them that gets them to work together. And I think our Scripps laboratory person could confirm that. You know, that, yeah, right. And we've been to meet him in the lab at Scripps, and we've done that in so many labs. Anyway, you're absolutely right, Sue. All the scientists, like all of our families, are all in and all together. So, and that is so unique. I mean, so many other disease groups have fractionated. And here we are, as this began, Dave, thank, you know, NAP, FARA, MDA, Taxi UK, Eurohead, because, you know, no other disease group does that. They've got 15 or 16 competing organizations that won't have anything to do with each other. We're all here in the same room doing this together. So it's just magnificent. We've got to keep that spirit going. There's no one that will cross the finish line alone. We'll all cross it because we're together. So. Quickly through the other clinical trials, you know a good bit about EPO, or erythropoietin. We've been doing sort of small-scale pilot studies and clinical trials with EPO for a number of years. showing the evidence that EPO, which is a naturally occurring molecule in our bodies that makes red blood cells, was able to increase frataxin protein levels. Not because it increased expression of frataxin protein, had nothing to do with the gene. It was out in the cell, somehow able to either extend the life cycle of frataxin protein or some other mechanism. It was giving you more frataxin protein levels. It's been in a number of patients with mixed results. We had three Italian studies that ended last year that with entirely three different results. So the team in Italy that had the best results of those three is now in a small clinical trial that we're funding. It's a very high dose of EPO, very infrequently administered. So high dose, like once a week or once every, I think it's every 3 weeks. And they're going to see if that can give you higher protein levels without the risk of constant administration.